the secret to innovation and creativity, business and life. Really simple. Psychedelic Daily, Psychedelic Daily, Psychedelic Daily, Psychedelic Daily. The secret to innovation and creativity, business and life. Really simple. Psychedelic Daily, Psychedelic Daily, Psychedelic Daily, Psychedelic Daily.
Hey everybody, it's Psychedelic Daily, a microdose of news and culture from the front lines of the psychedelic renaissance, from the trenches, from the underground, from the deep history archives. You got to cover all the angles, people. It's pretty complicated, and I want to help with that. Commentary and context by yours truly. I'm Bo Ross in New Orleans, Louisiana. We're taking a grand tour of the whole psychedelic city, visiting all the different neighborhoods and districts of this renaissance, and getting caught up on all of the action-packed events, all of the amazing adventure and action that happened in the last few years, the most eventful years in the history of psychedelics. And you might have missed a lot of this news because of all the big mainstream headlines. The headlines were pretty bad. The pandemic, crazy election. Hopefully some of this psychedelic stuff will be some good news you can use. Today, I wanted to get on that subway in our minds and head on over to the business district and give you a big picture map of what's going on over there. What are all these companies doing? I wanted to focus on that today. What are the main areas of endeavor? What are these companies doing? Mushroom medicine, on the surface, it seems pretty simple. You talk to somebody before the experience, try to get an understanding of where they're at mentally, make sure you do the due diligence and they're not vulnerable. They're not in that rare category, rare but significant category of people that not only won't be helped, but could be hurt. It's not a lot of people, but it's you got to do diligence and make sure. And then you hold a safe container for them. Be there if they need you, but more or less, just make a safe container so they have the experience. Then you talk to them afterwards and help them integrate it into their daily life. Help them heal. Now, I'm under no illusion that can be pretty complicated. There are a lot of fine details. But why do we need all this capital and competition and innovation? Now, I know why capital came into psychedelics, because somebody had to pay for all the clinical trials, the research. You got to make the standardized dosages with the synthetic pipeline. And the government wasn't going to pay. Ocasio-Cortez and Matt Gaetz of Florida, they tried to get government financing to come into psychedelic medicine. It was rejected in a bipartisan fashion. So now we've got capital in psychedelics, and we've got a whole bunch of companies, a shit ton of companies involved. And today, what I wanted to do was articulate the areas wherein which they are competing and maybe innovating, and, you know, what are the goods and services. So this is a big picture map of what they are trying to do.
Next stop, the business district.
Psychedelic medicine industry areas of activity: digital therapeutics, psilocybin retreats, clinics, media companies, psilocybin production, synthetic and extracted, training education companies, ketamine clinics and related, psychedelic patents, research, development, clinical trials, psilocybin analogs and second generation psychedelics, nutraceuticals and microdose supplements, functional, recreational.
First, the most obvious area where companies want to add value and be the company that gets out firstest with the mostest is the actual production of the medicines. Psilocybin production, synthetic and extracted. In this area, there are two main branches. There's a fork in the road here. And one is the pure synthetic play, where you've got basically two really big players. Compass Pathways has their own patented synthetic process and product called Comp 360. But then you also have this open source underdog that's out there, put out by the USONA Institute, the USONA Institute. They've got an open source psilocybin process, which, you know, I'm rooting for that. I don't want a company, you know, monopolizing this medicine right out the gate. But yeah, so you've got a really interesting story there on the synthetic side of the pipeline. Compass got a patented version? Usona has an open source one. Do they have any qualitative differences? Is there something we should know? One better than the other? A really interesting rivalry or competition. A lot of juicy material for future stories. Now, on the other side of psilocybin production, you've got the whole biomass and natural extraction area. And in that place, in that side, you've got a lot more competition. A quick rundown of the companies: Silo Wellness in Jamaica, Optimi Health Corporation, Orthogonal Thinker, Field Trip, New Wave Holdings, Octarine, Midasyn, Haven, Numinous. Just a lot of companies trying to get into this organic biomass extraction and cultivation game, because I think one of the most interesting conversations in psychedelic medicine to come is the difference between organic and natural sourced and synthetic. And when it comes to psilocybin, and I'm basing this on my own personal experience with natural, fresh picked, and synthetic, there's a difference. There really is a difference. And I don't want to get into the metaphysical or qualitative details here. We don't know each other that well yet. But there is significant difference that we can talk about in the future. And I think that's something that patients and medical data for their recovery and healing, it's going to be a really interesting conversation. So psilocybin production, synthetic and biomass extracted, cultivated, that is a big area that we're going to be looking at where these companies are competing. Another area where they're competing and innovating is in digital therapeutics. This makes a lot of sense, and this is actually an area where some companies could add a lot of original innovative value. This is using our smartphones and our other digital hardware and software to try and help with the preparation and the integration of psychedelic medicine. And in this space, once again, lots of competition. Field Trip Health has got their portal digital platform. MindLeap has their own integration coaching app. MindMed has an app called Albert. They've acquired Health Mode, which is in this digital therapeutics game. There's a tie in Europe. They've got the Introspect digital therapeutics platform. Maya Health, well, that's Scratch Maya Health. MindCure has the iStream platform. Compass has MindStrong. They partner with MindStrong. There's this thing called the Luminate app. In this area, this is an area due to its software nature. You know, things can change on a dime. Some new piece of software could go viral. It's going to be really interesting to watch what happens in digital therapeutics. Going to be a lot of competition there. Another area of interest is delivery technologies, intranasal sprays, all the different ways that you can apply psychedelic medicine and ingest it, integrate it. I really think this could easily be dismissed as an area where companies are trying to just create distinction and value where there doesn't need to be any, just take the pill, right? But I actually believe that the ingestion and application method could make a really big difference. For instance, a transdermal patch that slowly releases a psychedelic compound and has some sort of biofeedback connection, some loop to your own, internal chemistry, your heartbeat and everything, just kind of slowly ease someone into the experience. So in the area of delivery technologies, the creation of intranasal sprays, micro bubbles, nanosystems, transdermal patches, you've got Cybin and VersaFilm, Revive Therapeutics, MindMed's in the game, Neurofarm's in the game, Silo Wellness has a psilocybin nasal spray, patent pending. Lots of competition in delivery technologies. Another major area is psilocybin analogs and second generation psychedelics. Obviously, a lot of these companies want to have their own patented proprietary alternative to the natural psilocybin. So lots of competition here. Field Trip Health got FT-104. Don't know anything about it. Can't wait to do some research. Camtech has got Proforia and Amphoria. Bright Minds, what a great name for a company, especially if you have your CEO going out in the world saying he's made an improved psilocybin. There's a story around Bright Minds I can't wait to get into. Trip Therapeutics has got a couple of compounds. MindMed is doing Ibogaine analogs. entheogenics and cybin are in the game. So lots of interesting competition going on there. Another major area is nutraceuticals and microdose supplements. Functional supplements, get it? Functional. Orthogonal Thinker, Wake, Haven Life, Neon Mind, Ritual, Pure Extract Technologies, Mind Meds here, Red Light Holland, Optimi Health is here. Lots of companies in the game trying to make nutraceuticals that can supplement microdosing regimens or even replace them. There's a lot of stuff to talk about here. So what are some other areas? Psychedelic patents. A lot of people trying to get in the patent game and own the future. So Compass has already been in some hot water about how they've tried to patent particular aspects of set and setting in psychedelic medicine that were pretty ridiculous. Trying to patent different processes for synthesizing psilocybin based on polymorphs and little crystalline details and shit like that. So yeah, you got a lot of companies out there trying to flood the patent zone, and there's some really unlikely, crazy stories going in this patent space. Like, if I asked you offhand, who do you think has the most patents for DMT vaporization tools? Who's got all the different, they flooded the zone on DMT, 5-MeO DMT for all kinds of ways to inhale it with a vape device. Well, it's Philip fucking Morris. Yeah, they flooded the zone. I think they've got like over 50 patents on DMT. That's the world we live in. It's freaking crazy. There's patents going on in DMT, psilocybin, ibogaine, MDMA, LSD. I've got some patent trackers, some databases to keep an eye on all this stuff. Okay, another big area, and this is the area where it's boots on the ground. It's real world stuff happening right now, is ketamine clinics, ketamine health related stuff, Field Trip, Ehav, Mind Bloom, Champignon, Delic, Empower, Novamind, a whole ton of independent, unaffiliated clinics all over the place. We got one here in the New Orleans metro area. You've got companies competing for the home delivery type prescription services, Keta Dash, home delivery, a bunch of ketamine at home innovations happening, competition in that space. And then, of course, there's research development, R&D, clinical trials, a lot of capital flooding into this area so that they can make some breakthrough process or method happen. But Compass, MindMed, Eleusis, Camtech, Cybin, Neon Mind, Haven Life, Field Trip, Revive Therapeutics, Numinous, Beckley SciTech, Usona, Novamind, lots of clinical trials going on. And there's just a shit ton to talk about. And I got to say, I'm going to do a whole show about naming a psychedelic company. Get into some of these names, because you know that's one thing, unique thing about psychedelic capitalism. These kind of names coming into the game, it's ripe for some ribbon and some fun. We got to have fun in this crazy world. All right. So yeah, I think you've got a really good picture. There's plenty of areas. There's training education companies. We got to train a lot of therapists. So Fluence, Third Wave, CIIS, the Cali Institute for Integral Studies, Dennis McKenna, the legend. He's got the McKenna Academy of Natural Philosophy in Canada. Can't wait to go deeper on that. Media companies got to cover this stuff, got to have some kind of reasonable business news around all these companies. So you've got Delic, Double Blind, Psychedelic Spotlight, Lucid, Symposia, that's a nonprofit, Report on Psychedelics, Microdose, Chakruna, the old school, Ketamine Media. There's a lot of competition and different angles on the media companies. This is the business district, and it is freaking happening, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. Maybe it's not your cup of tea, but we got to remember that this is going to be the one or a few or many of these companies. They're designing the runway down which millions of Americans will take their first approach to psychedelic healing. It's important that they get it right, at least a few of them. So you don't have to be all happy about capital and psychedelics, but it's fascinating stuff. Keep an eye on it. I know I will. I'll do it for you. And I'll always be looking for something that is scandalous. Integration therapeutics, that's another area. What else we got? Can't forget that there's academic and nonprofit institutes that are doing work that could compete with what these companies are trying to do. And of course, you know, like Usona, they would put it out there maybe in an open source way and fuck up somebody's patent game. So yeah, the big academic and nonprofit institutes, Johns Hopkins, Usona, the Imperial College London, the Hefter Institute, they have an impact, a footprint in the business district as well. All right, so that's a pretty big picture overall map or sketch of the business district. I think that's enough for the day. Tomorrow, we're going to be getting back on the subway and heading over to City Hall. Just a ton of policy initiatives and breakthrough therapy designations, Oregon, a lot of stuff happening in the policy area. So join me tomorrow on Psychedelic Daily as we head to City Hall.